Welcome to BridgeCast, an online internet broadcast hosted at paulthompsonblog.com. In today's broadcast, Paul may give reviews of books he's been reading, interview friends, explore church history, or consider current events, all with the hope to keep the lamp of Scripture on the narrow path. Listen in as Paul considers today's topics.
Hey, welcome to BridgeCast, week number 3 of my ongoing attempt of podcasting. Welcome and thanks for tuning in today at paulthompsonblog.com. Here's what I want to do. I'm going to have 3 segments in today's podcast. I'm going to read Psalm chapter 20. I'm going to give a book review of a book that I've recently read. And then the third segment is I'm going to give an opportunity for someone to win a free audiobook. So I'll get to each of those segments here in just a moment. I want to encourage you to find yourself regularly reading Scripture. So I want to take a moment, read Psalm chapter 20. It's a piece of Scripture that I've already read this morning in my household, and I encourage you that you would be reading this as well. Psalm chapter 20, may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob set you securely on high. May he send you help from the sanctuary and support you from Zion. May he remember all your meal offerings and find your burnt offering acceptable. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your counsel. We will sing for joy over your victory. And in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some boast in chariots and some in horses, but we will boast in the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stood upright. Save, O Lord, and may the King answer us in the day we call. Psalm chapter 20. All right, in my second segment today, I want to give a book review of a book that I recently received, and I want to give my disclaimer up front, how I appreciate those who gave me the book, how I appreciate the value of the book, because the book, any book that's given to me costs somebody something, and I appreciate the value of a nearly $20 book. That's no cheap investment, and I appreciate those who bought the book, I appreciate those who gave me the book, And I even appreciate the value that came from the book. My review, I'll go ahead and give you this on the front end, that my review of the book that I'm about to tell you about is a less than favorable review. I'm going to go ahead and give the review to the book because I think it warrants a warning. And so not because I don't appreciate those who gave me the book or that I don't appreciate those who have written the book or who have published the book or who have endorsed the book. I just am going to go ahead and tell you that I think this book comes from me, people that I would speak about this book comes with a warning. And so I'm going to give my book review from that vantage point of this book. This book is entitled What Every Pastor Should Know. 101 Indispensable Rules of Thumb for Leading Your Church. It's written by Gary McIntosh and Charles Arnes. So as I approach a book, I do it in this essential order. I break the rule that everyone says, and that is, you know how everyone says you can't judge a book by its cover? I break that rule with nearly every book I read. And I basically do judge books by its cover, not the determination of whether I'm going to read it. It's not an absolute rule that I won't read it after I've made my judgment, but I certainly make judgments of the books that I read. And here's how I do that. I read the title. I want to know, okay, that seems interesting, or oh, I don't know about that title. I find out who the authors are. If it's somebody that I've read before, then I'm going to come to it with a certain level of expectation. If it's somebody I've never read before, then I'm going to weigh on the endorsers. And what are the endorsers saying about the book? And I'll tell you this, I've read some fantastic books by unknown authors before by the influence that came from some endorsers of books. And so endorsers for me carry a pretty significant weight, which I'm certain is why authors, when they're done writing a book, they begin the work of finding endorsers of their books so that they can get other people to read their books based off of well-known people. This book, What Every Pastor Should Know, 101 Indispensable Rules of Thumb for Leading Your Church, is endorsed by some well-known billboard attracting people. So if this is a prize fight, these are the names that go up on the bill out front. If this is a baseball, these guys are the home run hitters. These guys are the cleanup batters. These guys are the pitchers of the games. They are the game players. They are the game makers. And so these endorsers, at least from the vantage point from the church growth, the missional minded, the church planting, the church statistics and research arenas, these names are well known. And if you're listening today and you're not a pastor, I'm going to read these names and you're going to think, Paul, I've never heard of these guys before. Then you've probably not read much church growth, many church growth books, and maybe that's best for you. Maybe that's best for all of us, that we read less church growth books and spend more time reading our Bibles. I think that would probably be the best indispensable rule of thumb for every pastor, for every church leader, for every member of any church, for any person to do, is quit reading these other books and read the Bible. It's really the indispensable rules of thumb. If you want to know how to lead your church, read the book of 1 Corinthians sometime, huh? Well, anyway, I'm going to read the endorsements on the back of the book, and then from there I open up the book and begin to read the chapter titles. I think a lot can be said by a book of the titles that are given. Sometimes there's a wealth of theology or information inside of just a simple chapter title. This book, What Every Pastor Should Know, 101 Indispensable Rules of Thumb for Leading Your Church, the endorsers of this book are essentially saying this. Well, I'm just going to read to you what they actually say, so it's not essentially, it's actually. Tom Rayner, president and CEO of Lifeway Christian Resources, he says this about this book. This book is fantastic. And I read that with emphasis because he puts an exclamation point behind the word fantastic. So Tom Rayner, president and CEO of Lifeway Christian Resources, says, "This book is fantastic. There is no doubt that that it will be on my shelf as a reference for years to come." Elmer Towns, co-founder of Liberty University, he says this about this book, that every pastor should read this book. Ed Stetzer says this. He's an author, a blogger, a researcher. Anyone inside of church growth and mission-driven churches and church-planting churches, you've heard the name Ed Stetzer. This is the man who's batting cleanup on the baseball lineup. He says this, that there is a wealth of insights for pastors on the day-to-day issues of leading an effective church. Well, that carries a lot of weight for me. These are people that I know. I don't know them personally as far as they have my phone numbers, I have their phone numbers. I read their blogs. I read their resources. I've read their books. I'm familiar with their ministries. And they're telling pastors, this book it needs to be in your hands as quickly as possible. The answers, they're essentially telling people this book holds the answers that they need to plan, to run, to grow an effective church. Well, my review is probably, I would probably not get an A on my book review because I'm not going to give a book review of the whole book. If I were to do that, you would find me to be one frustrated person. I'm going to give a review of this book based off of on about three of these 101 indispensable rules of thumb. I'm going to tell you there are some good rules of thumb that these guys suggest, that McIntosh and Arn suggest, but I cannot put any of these in indispensable rules of thumb. The word indispensable, I went and looked it up after I read the title, and I said, well, that seems like a pretty strong word. I want to know how it's defined. And I had a pretty good idea of how it was defined, but I wanted to have a textbook answer to it, and that is this, that the word indispensable means absolutely necessary. So I'm going to hold the authors accountable for their assertion on the title of the book. I'm going to hold the endorsers to the assertment that the book makes, that this book holds 101 absolutely necessary rules of thumbs for leading your rules of thumb. I don't know how many thumbs. Well, I got two thumbs, so I guess it could be thumbs. But 101 absolutely necessary rules of thumb for leading your church. I'm going to hold them accountable to the title they gave to the book and that the endorsers give to the authors. Well, so here's what I'm going to do. After I get done reading the chapter titles, there's 15 chapters long, but inside of those 15 chapters are the 101 indispensable or absolutely necessary rules of thumb for leading your church. And so after I get done reading the chapter titles, there are some of these chapter titles that I think, okay, I think that's going to be good. And I'm curious to how they're going to approach this and what they're going to say about that. And I'm making these assessments and judgments based off of what the endorsers have said about this book. So I began reading the book, and here's how it happened. For me, this book was among the fastest books I've ever read. I'm classically a very slow reader. It takes me a while to get through a book, but this is among those books that I read very fast. And there are other books that I've read fast, but for different reasons. My reading through this book so fastly was because the more I read, the more frustrated I became. The more frustrated I became with the authors, the more frustrated I became with the publisher, the more frustrated I became with the endorsers of the book. And so as I'm reading it, I read this book essentially out loud. I didn't read the entire book out loud to Renee, but I read it in the evenings. It took me about two evenings to get through the book. So that's going to tell you that shouldn't tell you from my description of how I'm typically a slow reader to tell you how small the book is. Really, that should imply to you is you should hear me saying that this is the kind of impact that the book actually had on me. Positive or negative, it caused me in the reading to want to read more of it. For me, essentially, it was I want to keep reading because I want to find somewhere in the book that they're going to come back and say, now 100 of these are worth consideration and leave them in those areas, but this one area is absolutely necessary. I wanted somewhere inside of this book to tell pastors that here is the absolutely necessary thing you must do if you're going to lead your church effectively. Now, maybe the author comes to this with an assumed position that pastors know that if they're going to effectively lead their churches, they must find themselves with the Word of God open in front of them in quiet places, digging and searching and praying and crying and weeping and pleading with God that God would help them and teach them and show them how to lead their churches. But nowhere did I find that in the book. Disappointed, frustrated, irritated. That's the title of my book review of what every pastor should know. 101 indispensable rules of thumb for leading your church. So let me just break it down in a couple of ways. Because time won't allow me to go through all 101 of these rules of thumb, indispensable rules of thumb, absolutely necessary rules of thumb. All I can do is just give you a taste of the frustration that sits upon me with the consideration of this book and why I come to do a review with a warning rather than to give a high level endorsement to encourage pastors to read it. If I would ever encourage a pastor to read this book, it would be here, go read this book, and when you're done reading this book, don't do any of these things. That's how I really feel about this book. Yes, there are some helpful things. Yes, there are. I think this book speaks to truth. I think it speaks of reality. I think it speaks from the vantage point of statistics and research and data. I think all these things influence the writers, and I think they all are accurate and true. The tragedy is that when a pastor's wanting to know, he really wants to know how to effectively lead his church, And rather than go and seek the face of God, he's going to go read a book of 101 indispensable, absolutely necessary rules of thumb. And the tendency will be that to not even seek the face of God, to not even pray and ask God, is this all right? Is this appropriate? Can I do this? Should I do that? He just goes and begins to apply these principles to the leading of his church. And pastor, I think I should speak to this in this manner. If you'll go and do what the authors of this book suggest that you do, I am convinced you'll find your church will grow. I think they're speaking from statistical data that shows, that proves, that is factual. It will reap a result of what you do. There will be, I think if you will apply these principles, you'll find people in your church who were not there a year ago. If you'll do these things, if you'll implement and do the things that the authors and the endorsers are suggesting that you do, I'm convinced you will find a result that will look favorable. And I'm going to let my silence speak to how that sits upon me of frustration. Here's a small taste of the 101 indispensable, absolutely necessary rules of thumb for leading your church effectively. Rule number one is that you should have this Great Commission conscience rule. Meaning this, that at least, so the authors define this, that at least three of every five elected church officers should have a Great Commission conscience. Well, I suppose that three out of five is a majority, isn't it? But why not aim for five out of five? Why not want all of your elected church officers to be Great Commission-minded people? Well, I mean, they explain why they say three out of five, because it has influence on the whole. The collective of the church body is affected by the majority. They talk about this, what they call a receptivity rule. Rule number two, the most effective outreach, for most effective outreach, focus on receptive people. Well, listen. If you go out and put a product in front of people who are receptive to the product, then you should expect that your efforts are going to reap a beneficial reward. But the gospel isn't something that we take to receptive people. We don't just go out and find people who like us, and then we give them the gospel. Now, I don't think that that's what the authors suggest. I don't think that that's what the endorsers are meaning when they put their names behind this book. But I think the warning is high enough for me to say back to the, I want to push back to the authors who will never meet me, who will never likely hear even this book review, but I push back on that to suggest, to say to them, please, when you're going to tell a pastor that this book holds absolutely necessary rules of thumb for leading your church, then don't tell them to just go out and take the gospel or give their church product to people who want their product. The work of the church, the work of the gospel, is hated, and we take it to people who hate it, hoping that someone that hears the gospel will receive it. We don't take it to receptive people. We take it to all people. So if you're going to tell churches, you're going to tell pastors especially, who want, they go to conferences and they hear people speak about how their churches are growing. Listen, they go home so deflated, so feeling so inferior of their ministry and their effectiveness in the work. And they go home and they remember, oh, hey, I remember getting a book that told me that this book holds 101 absolutely necessary rules of thumb for leading my church. And they begin to read it. And then begin to say, out of desperation, I'm going to start doing that. I think they're going to begin to see a beneficial product, end result of the product of what they're hoping for, growth, increase. The danger is that it's only touching the carnal man. It hasn't addressed and even come close to touching the spiritual man. Well, listen, I just can't. The more I talk about this book, the more frustrated I become, and I want to be as fair as possible. I want to give leniency here to the authors. I don't think that they're implying. I don't think they're trying to be misleading. I don't think it's anyone's intent. The author, the endorsers, the publisher. I know this with great confidence that it's not their attempt to mislead people. But I think I've got to speak a warning to the book of how risky I think the book really is. I think it's misleading to a pastor who's desperate. I think a pastor who's desperate hears the words of this author and these endorsers, and he's thinking he has somewhat of a level of permission to go and do these things because they're published in a book, and they're published in a book that people are saying and given at conferences for pastors, and they begin to assume the implication of the book is that these things are tried and true and ought to be done with a level of expectation. That if you want your church to grow, go and do this. And again, I'll affirm, I think that that's probably going to happen. If a pastor takes these, if you even take one of these and begin to apply it into your life, I think you're probably going to begin to see results from it. So if that's even considered affirmative of the book, I think it's worth mentioning from this vantage point of the risk and the warning of the book. So from that vantage point, one last of the 101 indispensable, absolutely necessary rules of thumb for leading your church, and that's rule number 20. Rule number 20 is this, the sermon selection rule. It's subtitled, when church members help select sermon topics, they are more likely to come hear you preach on them. Well, again, I do agree. If you want your people to come and hear you preach, then follow this rule, and I think that that will actually happen. Oh, you should completely hear that silence. Almost of me saying, I don't know if I can say anything about this without sinning. The sermon selection rule number 20, that when church members help select sermon topics, they are more likely to come hear you preach on them. And then the suggestions about how to do this, how to ask and how to garnish the information of what church members want to hear you preach on is just ludicrous. So the suggestion is to put out 3x5 cards. Ask people to prime the pump a little bit, put some ideas in front of them, and then give them permission to just start telling you, pastor, what they want you to preach on, and then do that. Does that not sound, to anyone who's familiar with their Bible, does that not sound, begin to have the air of danger and caution and warning to you? No, pastor, you do not have permission to preach to people what they want. Scripture tells us that in the New Testament that there's coming a day when there will be a famine of truth in the land. Well, people will not put up with pastors, preachers, evangelists who preach and teach biblical truth. They'll only want to put in front of them people who will preach to them what they want. That's why I cannot give a favorable review to the book. I went online and found that there are some other places that have actually given this book a favor. I was really quite shocked at one place. Nine Marks Ministries gave this book, at least it didn't speak to the warnings that I felt of it. They didn't at all feel the same concern and caution that I had with the book. Now, I appreciate Nine Marks Ministries. I've used their resources and will continue to use them. Their favorable review of the book won't taint that. But I thought, wow, of all places that might would have helped me understand, am I assessing this book properly or not? And I walked away thinking, well, maybe I'm the one who's just being really closed-minded, narrow-minded, being hard-nosed on the issue. And so, you know, after reading their review about it, I still felt the same as I did after I got done reading it. And so there's my book review of What Every Pastor Should Know. And it essentially is summed up in this manner. Don't read it, or if you do read it, and if you have read it, then don't do anything inside of it, okay? And then as I say that, I think, oh, Paul, you know, maybe it would be best for you to just heed the words of what people have told you in the past, and what people say, that, you know, they say moms are known for saying these kinds of things. And I don't know. I'm going to have to call my mom later and ask her, Mom, did you ever tell me that if I don't have anything good to say, to not say anything at all? Because I don't really remember. It's likely that she probably said something of that nature, especially I'm sure she did. And so I'm going to have confirmation of that from my mom. Maybe Mom, you can post a comment at the bottom and help me remind me, and maybe even chide me a bit here and say, Paul, if you don't have anything good to say about that book, then don't say anything at all. Maybe that will be appropriate for me to hear. So listen, I that's my book review. That's really all I can say about it. It's really all I should say about it. So if you want to know how I really feel about it, then write me a note, okay? Ask me to tell you what I really think about the book. I appreciate the givers. I appreciate the value. I really do. I appreciate the ministry that these guys are attempting to do and are doing in lots of ways. I think they're doing good work and kingdom work. But I just got to say, I think that is a really dangerous book to put in the hands of pastors. So pastors, read it with caution, as you should read everything with caution. Go and find yourself today in a quiet place. Open up that precious word of the living God and ask Him how to effectively lead your church. Ask Him to show you the indispensable rules of thumb. Ask Him to show you that which is absolutely necessary for you to do to be an effective follower, obedient servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that would be my prayer for you, and that would be my hope of encouragement to pastors who might be listening today. All right, listen, coming out of that segment of a less than favorable book review, which, by the way, it'll be my expectation that most of the book reviews that I'm going to do here at Bridgecast will probably be more favorable than that. I don't know how it ended up being that this was the first book that I chose to give a book review of, and then whenever I was writing this out, I just had the book, I just received it, and thought, you know what, I'm going to do a book review of that book that I just gave. I probably should have read it before I put it on my schedule and gave myself unto that work. But anyway, after that less than favorable book review, in an ironic fashion, in an ironic twist of fate, I'm going to turn now and have an offer of a free book. So I just finished spending some time getting on to and saying to these guys, who will never hear this, by the way, unless somebody that knows them hears this and says, hey, you got to hear what this punk in Idaho had to say about your endorsement or about your book. But here I am, a punk in Idaho, giving an endorsement of a really helpful book, and that is by David Platt, a pastor. David Platt written a book several years ago entitled Radical. Pastor, if you've never read this, I can't encourage you enough. I should do a book review on this sometime and encourage it in this way. Church member, if you've never read the book Radical, I can't encourage you enough to get this book into your hands. I have one copy of the book Radical in an audio format, so it's in CD format, and it's still in the shrink wrap product, so it's brand spanking new. And I want to give it away to a listener today here at Bridgecast. The book Radical, by the way, its pre-title is this: Taking Back Your Faith from the American Dream, Radical by David Platt. So you should here's what I think I'm going to do. To be eligible to receive this free audio book Radical, I'm going to need you to leave a comment and suggest a book that I read and give a review on. So makes it kind of risky for you to put a suggestion out there, but maybe there's a book that you've read that you'd like to have some more feedback from someone who's read it as well. So in the comment section below on paulthompsonblog.com in relationship to today's podcast, if you'll leave a comment down at the bottom and suggest in that comment, suggest a book that I read and give a review of. And here's what I'll do is I'm just going to take it, you know, who knows? There's not a lot of commenters on my blog, so I may be putting myself out there at a real risky position, and I may get to keep this audio version of Radical by David Platt. But if you'll leave a comment in the comment section and suggest a book that I do a review of, I'll take those reviews and we'll leave it open until Friday of this week of the airing of today's Bridgecast. On Friday, I'll take all the names of the books that have been suggested. I'll put them, I'll print them out on slips of paper, put them in a hat, draw out the name. Of the suggestion from the box, and the winner will receive this audio version of Radical by David Platt. So that's how we'll do that. That's segment number 3 of today's podcast is a free giveaway. I hope you'll take advantage of it. It's a book, again, that I would be happy to put my name behind an endorsement. It's something that really just kind of struck me, and it's really quite interesting. If you've never seen the book cover of Radical, it's a red cover with white and black lettering, and I put it up against the book that I just gave a review of, and wouldn't you know, I hadn't noticed this before. It's red with black and white lettering, almost intended to, I don't know, I'm assuming too much, so I'm going to leave that assumption alone. That was pretty ironic and pretty interesting. Well, listen, thanks for tuning in to Bridgecast. I'm enjoying this even for my own value and for my own benefit of consideration for what we're doing. So here's another thing for you of consideration. If you're listening to this on Monday, okay, and you're available on Tuesday, January the 21st, I'm going to be interviewing Jeff Norton, the pastor at Northridge Fellowship in Jerome, Idaho, tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock at Chick-fil-A in Twin Falls on Blue Lakes. So if you're anywhere around that part of Twin Falls on Tuesday morning, January the 21st, around 9 o'clock, from about 9 o'clock to about 10 o'clock, we'll be there likely during that time span. You come by during that time, and I'll have another gift for you. Okay, you just come by, interrupt us in our interview. I'm giving you permission. I'm instructing you. When you walk in there, you hunt me down. You find me back in the far corner with Jeff Norton, and say, "Hey, I'm here to get my free gift." And you can just say it to me just like that. Okay, I've got a gift I want to give you. You come by and I hope you'll do that with us. It'll be a fun part of the interview process I'll have with Jeff Norton. So we'll do that interview tomorrow with Jeff Norton. I won't have it scheduled on my podcast to happen until early February, but I need to go ahead and get the interview conducted and finished because I'm really nervous about interviews. And so we'll do that in advance and work that out. But I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to introducing you, especially those of Eastside Baptist Church, to an area pastor who loves the Lord, who loves his family, he loves his church, and I want you to get to know the heart of this man, Jeff Norton at Northridge Fellowship. All right, so thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to come by and shout hello at us on Tuesday morning, January the 21st, at Chick-fil-A on Blue Lakes in Twin Falls. I have a gift I want to give you when you come by, all right? Hey, thanks. Have a great day. Put your hand to the plow, and don't you dare look back.
Thanks for listening today. Feel free to write Paul with questions or comments related to today's topics. Helpful links can be found at the blog link related to this broadcast at paulthompsonblog.com.